brings us to one hope of the side, although a fading hope, because he's leaving the federal parliament. Senator Ron Boswell. He will speak at a rally in Canberra on June 18, not far away, 2 weeks away. In outside Parliament House, I will be speaking too, because our nation is on the rack over this global warming rubbish, which has led to a carbon tax, which has it at $23 a tonne, when the European price is $4 a tonne, could get to $2.70 a tonne, electricity going through the roof, individual and businesses on the floor, just ready for the knockout punch. And the only person prepared to talk about this in Canberra on either side is this man, Ron Boswell. He's on the line. Ron Boswell, good morning.
Good morning, Alan.
Thank you very much for your time. I've just come back from contact with Europe and Asia, and it's clear there they are saying this whole emissions trading scheme issue is in imminent collapse, that the science of global warming has collapsed, and the London Economist said that the whole edifice of European climate policy could start to crumble. The director of the Global Warming Policy Foundation says, quote, given the manifest reluctance of the world's big emitters to accept any legally binding carbon targets, and in the face of our deepening economic crisis, Europe should undertake a comprehensive review of its economically damaging carbon targets and should consider the suspension of all unilateral climate policies that threaten Europe's economic recovery. What are we doing, Ron Boswell?
Well, I think Germany has already decided they're abandoning wind and they're going back to coal-fired power stations, and they're building them over there at the moment. In your litany of...
I think about over 30 are being built in Germany at the moment.
That's right. Mm. In your litany of what's going wrong in Geelong, apart from the Ford factory, you admitted the Geelong Shell refinery has closed down or will no longer process fuel.
Right.
So that's another one you can add to Geelong. Another one.
But here we are strapped for money. The government is in debt and we've got billions of dollars in subsidies for solar and wind power and we continue to demonise coal-fired power. Now, given that you're in the party room of the outfit that's going to be government in 100 days or whatever, what is the opposition doing? Is it going to continue these subsidies for solar and wind power? Is it going to continue to demonise coal-fired power?
Within 1 month of us taking power, if we are fortunate enough to do, there will be a review of all this, and I hope of all the renewable energies, and I hope common sense prevails. As I move around the party room, it doesn't seem to have any support on renewable. There are obviously some people that do support it, but there will be a review in a month, and I think then the stupidness of all this renewable energy and carbon tax is going to be exposed.
We've paid a high price, haven't we?
We have paid a gigantic price. I mean, look at there's a whole BlueScope, Boral, Prentice Jobs, Pentair, Goodman Fielder, Caltex, Norsk Hydro.
Just to interrupt you, and I don't want to massage your ego, but I've got to give this man enormous credit. This is the only man in Australian politics who's documented this, the only man, and he's mentioned these outfits, BlueScope Steel, 170 jobs gone. Boral, 790 jobs gone. These are all high energy intensive entities. Penrith Soda in South Australia, 60 jobs gone. Pentair, a company that made steel pipes in Western Sydney for 60 years, 160 jobs gone. It's gone. Amcor, 300 jobs gone. Goldman Fielder, he's outlined, Ron Boswell, shutting 15 factories, cutting 600 jobs. Caltex getting rid of its Kurnell refinery. High energy, intensive, can't afford it. 330 jobs. Norsk Hydro Aluminium Smelter in Newcastle. Ron Boswell's documented these. 350 jobs. And then, of course, Ron Boswell, all the companies that have gone overseas to get away from high-cost energy.
Well, that's right. We're having I think the word is diaspora of industry running to New Zealand and other places and America. I don't know where we're going to put our blue-collar workers, which the blue-collar workers were absorbed in manufacturing. There's no manufacturing, or there will be no manufacturing. It's just going down before your eyes because of high tax, carbon and renewable energy.
You made this point brilliantly. Ron Boswell made this point brilliantly. And when he said in a piece that he recently wrote, quote, we can have a carbon price and renewable energy targets, or viable manufacturing, we can't have both. That's it, isn't it?
I firmly believe that. Mm. But in yesterday in Queensland, the electricity prices went up by $169 for a renewable energy and $190 for a carbon tax. That's $359 going out on every householder in Queensland. That is the cost of their increase in electricity charges, made up of 169 renewable energy and 190 carbon tax. Now, there are some people that can afford it, but there are a lot of people that just cannot meet those increased electricity
absolutely.
Charges.
Absolutely.
And what are we getting for it? Nothing.
Nothing. Absolutely. You cited Holden cutting 500 jobs in South Australia and Victoria, but Labor policy on renewable energy and the carbon tax adds $550 to the manufacturing cost of every new Holden, $350 for the carbon tax, $200 for the renewable energy targets. I mean, it is true, is it, that no wind farm investment would be commercially viable if it wasn't for a federal renewable energy target scheme and massive subsidies?
That is absolutely right. You cannot make wind power or solar power work without huge subsidies. Now, look, I've just got something in front of me I'd like you to read. It's Yerangan Fisheries. I can use his name because he's a friend of mine. Little guy started off fishing with a couple of boats, developed a fish processing factory. His carbon tax per month now is $1,967. Dollars, 12.6 of his electricity bill, and his renewable energy is $1,294, which is 8.26 of his electricity bill. Now, this guy started from nothing. He developed fisheries, processing works, he exports, and he is hurting because he finds it difficult to sell his product overseas.
Absolutely. And there's no doubt about that. I mean, renewable energy is just, I think my listeners do understand that, and that is this solar and wind, which has to be compulsorily by legislation fed into the grid, and we've got supposed to have 20% of this by 2020. The cost goes up. See, let me ask you this, Ron Boswell. How can a wind turbine company go out there today, and it's at Crookwell and it's at Yass and all these places down there, collector, buy off a farmer for $10,000 a turbine, walk in and say, we'll give you $10,000 for every turbine we put up. But that same company is subsidised by the taxpayers who are listening to you. I mean, that's a scandal, surely.
Well, it gets worse than that because wind only blows 30% of the time.
Yeah.
But when you need it, it is only there 8% of the time. So you're putting all these windmills up, and yes, they work for 30% of the time, but when you need the overload and the peak power production with 5 to 8 at night, wind blows 8% of the time.
It's unaffordable, though, forgetting even that. It's unaffordable without the subsidies. Now, you've made the point. I've made the point. Wind power costs $150 to $214 a megawatt hour. Solar power, $400 to $473 a megawatt hour. Coal-fired power, $78 to $91 a megawatt hour. Why the hell would anyone with any brains turn their back on coal-fired power? If they were lined up on the supermarket, one's for $150, the other's for $473, and you can get the same product, the same effect for $78, you'd take the $78 if you had half a brain, wouldn't you?
Of course you would. And what are we achieving? Absolutely nothing. And the point that the overseas gentleman you quoted made is that unless America and China and Japan, India accept these changes, then it is absolutely pointless. Probably pointless anyhow.
Yeah.
But it's certainly absolutely pointless unless everyone does it.
See, we're subsidising, I think you made this point, the Australian car industry on one hand, and penalising it with carbon taxes and renewable energy targets on the other.
That's exactly right. And I rang the Chamber of Automobile up yesterday, and the carbon tax is depending on the size of the car, between $200 and $400. But in a Commodore, it's $400. And then the renewable energy is about $250. So, you know, we're putting $650 on. No wonder we're going out the door backwards.
Absolutely.
With Ford and Holden and with Ford and closing their, and Holden shutting the plants down and Ford closing them up and exiting in Australia. How stupid, putting $600 on a car and then trying to compete against some of these other countries without a carbon tax or renewable energy.
I suppose the key here, then, is, and you are a respected figure in this coalition party room, and that party room is in there talking policy and direction. So I suppose I'd come back to you on this key question, and you've argued persuasively the case against this rubbish, global warming rubbish, carbon taxes, renewable energy targets. So you're guaranteeing, you can virtually guarantee that if the coalition win government, this will all be reviewed.
I can guarantee there will be a review. I can't guarantee the outcome of that.
No.
I know the feeling in the party room.
Mm.
And it is totally, I won't say totally, and that's incorrect, I don't tell the truth, overwhelmingly,
yes,
not supported.
And what about the issue, therefore, in such a review? What do you think the coalition mood would be in stopping subsidies to wind power and solar power, which is costing the government, which is the taxpayer, billions of dollars every year?
Look, I don't. This is where you come into a sovereign risk program. I mean, people have built these on the understanding the government's going to subsidise them. Do you just walk away from them? I don't think you can. But you certainly can put a line in the sand and say, no more. The subsidies are off. If you can make them